Thursday night, 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, Bogart Fight Radio, MMA Madhouse. Let me get my partner in crime, Matthew, in here. Let's see ya. Matthew, you over there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How's it going, buddy?
Good, bud. What's going on? You know, who sings that song, and what song is that that you walk out to every week?
That's Power Man 5000, and the song's called Free. Classic,
right,
man. That's off their record Transform, which was, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, and it's just As Long As I Live, that'll be one of my favorite songs. Just a sick song, great beat, and just always loved it. And so, you know what, I'll never be fighting in a cage, so if I have some sort of intro or walkout music, at least I can play it here on the show. So if I ever were to fight, that'd be my music, hands down. So
fair enough. Every week I'm wondering, I forget to ask you, so this week I wanted to be sure I asked you. So how's the week going, brother? How you been? What's new?
Going good, man. Not much. Just another week working. Headed out to Orlando this weekend with my girlfriend, just relax for a night. And, I mean, nothing. Getting ready to get everything set up for school in August. Trying to work hard with Daniel and the Gator crew, trying to get us a new location, get up and running again. And I mean, not much, man. How about down your way?
You know, pretty much nothing, just working. You know, it's the joys of being I don't want to say a bachelor because you're not a bachelor, but an unmarried, unchildless man and woman to head off to Orlando and relax for the weekend. It seems I'm fairly jealous of that, just so you know. But nothing special this week. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Well, it helps when my girlfriend works for Hilton Hotel, makes reservations, and can get us hotels for free. It makes going out to Orlando or down to Tampa or something easier for a night or two when the hotels are free. So.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't tell me she works for Hilton. You know, don't you have some kind of, like, travel package for co-hosts? Isn't there something in there?
I'll have to ask her about that. There is a friends and family discount if we can somehow convince them maybe we're twin brothers or something. I mean, I know there's about a there's like a 5 to 10 pound difference between you and I, but maybe we can convince them, you know, maybe we can catch somebody with a lazy eye or something.
Well, I don't know if you, I mean, you're a little bit younger than me, but have you ever seen the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger? We can just go just like that, man.
Exactly. You know, and I'm glad that you bring that up because I do consider myself a lot like Arnold, and you do remind me of
Danny
DeVito, so.
Absolutely, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, you've at least seen your wiener in the last 20 years, so I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen my pecker in forever, so whatever.
Anyways, we got an awesome show tonight, man. We got an awesome show every week, but tonight we're going to start off with our weekly XFC segment, which we do want to give a big shout out to the XFC for setting this up. We've been doing this for a few weeks now. We had some awesome guests and. We still have some awesome guests ahead of us, but tonight we're going to welcome in, Reggie Pena, the Regulator, out of Spring Hill, Florida, getting ready to fight here at XFC 24, and just an awesome dude. Been off for a little while. He had a baby, and I know he was spending some family time, some personal time with his family and stuff, and he's stepping back in the cage here at XFC 24 in a couple weeks down here in Tampa, Florida. Fighter.
I'm looking at his picture here on the XFC website. He looks great for having a baby. I mean,
yeah, he's in great shape. He got rid of that baby weight real quickly, man. But no, he's a great fighter. He fought XFC 24 was his last fight, and he got a really nice submission, a guillotine submission. Actually, I'll never forget that fight. He won that fight, and then he's like, I just want to give a shout out to Spring Hill, Florida, and I'm just thinking, wow. He might be one of the only fighters ever to say that, so I thought that was pretty cool. He had Corey Hill by his side after that win, and I know they train together every now and then and stuff, so we're excited to have him on. We got another local guy. This guy, I see him all the time. I know him pretty well. Dervin Pioneer Lopez, awesome young fighter. Was supposed to be fighting tomorrow night on CFA 11 down in Miami. The fight got pulled because the promotion took the fighter he was supposed to be facing, put him in against another fighter for a different fight. And then unfortunately, Dervin was left without an opponent and is not fighting. Now, I had promised him he'd be on the show to talk about the fight. When he told me that, I said, screw that, screw the fight. I still want you on the show. I want to talk with you because he's a great dude. I see him at fights all the time, cornering teammates. We talk every now and then. He's a great dude. He's supposed to be fighting next month at Fight Time 15 out in Fort Lauderdale. So I say, you know what? The offer's still on the table, man. If you want to come on with us, you're always welcome. I love the dude. He's a great guy. And then we're going to close the night out with an awesome young dude out from Houston, Texas, Jacob Little Animal Silva. Just so much to talk about with this dude. It's going to be great, man. The guy's a great fighter, a great young career so far. He's fought for just a ridiculous amount of titles at a young age. But that's not even his biggest passion in life. So I've been wanting to talk to him for a while, and we'll get that rocking, and we'll talk with him later on.
After you and I talk off the air a little bit and you told me about what his biggest passion is, I think we should wait to let everybody in on the secret. But I think I think it's very admirable, and I think it's great. So I want to give him a chance to tell that story. And, I gained a ton of respect for Jacob Silva, 5 minutes ago after you and I had that conversation off the air. So I'm looking forward to talking to him, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Liv, before we get rolling, we never want to forget about our sponsors. So just real quick, some great companies that range from supporting local MMA to MMA gear to the best championship belts on the market. Brawlbase.com, GameChangerNow.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, DracoSports.com, and ProAmBelts.com. Phenomenal organizations, phenomenal companies. Check them out. Check out their websites. They're just doing great things for the sport, whether on the local scene, on the national scene, on the international scene, just some great companies. And, of course, Gator MMA, my homeboys, my team. In the middle of some changes right now. I got some stuff going on, but we've got big things on the horizon. It's looking up. It's looking to secure a new location really soon, a bigger location with a lot more to offer this Tampa Bay, Pasco, Pinellas, Hernando area, and it's just going to be great. So check out GatorMMA.com and, follow him. Daniel Blevins, I can't say enough. There's not many people in this sport as dedicated as Daniel who work as hard and who have the passion that he's got to teach and help young people learn sport, learn life discipline, and it just goes on and on, man. He's a great dude. So I'm Daniel Blevins. I'm behind you 100%, man. You're a great guy, and whatever you need, man, you've got me on your side. So
it's funny because for the longest time, that's all we did was talk Gator MMA because I mean you're getting in there and working hard with them. So and then they kind of after all that stuff went down with the gym and whatnot, I haven't heard from them. So I'm glad to hear that they're getting back up and gonna get back running here pretty quick. So I know
absolutely.
You speak very highly of them. Everybody I talk to speaks very highly of them. So, unfortunate things happen, but it's always good to see good things happen to good people. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, yeah. With that said, real quick, I just want to, and I've said this a couple times, but I do want to give another shout out to Four Corners Boxing, who's in the area, and they've been kind of putting us up and had a lot of our guys training out of there in the meantime while we're looking for somewhere new to go. So big shout out to Four Corners Boxing. It's definitely awesome, it's like two different worlds, when you bring in a school that's primarily submission grappling, wrestling into a boxing gym. It's kind of two different people, but two different worlds. But you know what? It's cool. It creates a lot of great diversity and variety, and really elevate your games to the next level. So,
I'm listening to you. We have a delay or something, I think, tonight, man. I don't know what the problem is. But anyway, we'll get it fixed. We'll get it straightened out here. But, that is something I've been talking to my wife about. I want to get in the boxing ring. I want to get in and I want to start taking some punches to the head. I've decided I'm too smart for my own good. And I want to get knocked around a little bit. So I'm thinking that might be a place I look into. I mean, it's a little bit far from my house, but I mean, if it's worth the trip up there, it's always something to look into. So I'm definitely going to get into the boxing ring here pretty quick. But let's see if we can't get our first guest in here pretty quick, Reggie Pena. So I'm going to go check it out. And can you take us to the first call?
Yeah, man, right on. First and foremost, tonight we're going to we got a XFC 24, June 14th in Tampa, Florida. It's by far going to be one of the sickest fight cards this state has ever seen, as well as one of the sickest cards that will ever be on Access TV. and it'll ever be available for you to watch. We've talked with John Prisco. We've talked with a few of the guys that are going to be on this fight card. It's stacked to the rim. Literally, I don't think they could put together a better fight card. So tonight we're going to talk with one of those guys. He's got a big fight coming up on that card, Reggie Regulator Pena. He's going to be fighting Ricky the Sniper Rainey, man. We've talked with Ricky before, great fighter. These guys are going to go to war. These guys are going to brawl, which is an absolute. It's going to be an absolute all-out war. And I can't say enough. Reggie's a great dude. 10-5 record, trains out of Champions MMA. Jason's going to jump back in the queue, get him ready to go. We're going to sit back and chat with him for about 20 minutes and see what he's got going on. Like I said, he's kind of he had a baby recently, which is always cool. So definitely going to give a shout out to him and see what that's been like for him. But if you want to find out more info about that, you can go to theofficialxfc.com where you can get tickets. You can get tickets, local ticket masters here in the Tampa Bay area. And you can check that out. So right now we're going to jump in with Reggie Pena. Reggie, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good.
First and foremost, man, congratulations. Just within this past year, you had a baby, and I know you've been spending some family time with focusing on that and stuff. So how's that going?
It's going great, man. Had a little had a baby boy on New Year's Day. Came out healthy, big boy, 9 pounds. Couldn't ask for anything more.
Right on, man.
Yeah, big boy.
So now you got just a few weeks out from XFC 24, a huge fight against Ricky Rainey. Both of you guys are absolute warriors, and I know you guys are going to brawl. How's training been going?
Training's great, man. Came out here to – I'm in New Mexico. I'm in Albuquerque, and just came out here training the elevation, can't beat it, man. It's just, I'm with the best of the best. I'm splitting my time up. I'm training at Mean One MMA, Keith Jardine's camp, and I'm also up there at Greg Jackson's. So just going back and forth, splitting the time and, get some training in and doing some bonds out in elevation on the mountainside. Just can't beat it, man. It's just a great atmosphere. I'm just stoked, man. Just can't wait to get in the cage.
Hey, Reggie, you're working with some great fighters out in Albuquerque there. Greg Jackson gym, obviously world-renowned gym in the MMA, and then you're working with Keith Jardine. Now, let me ask you, coming from Florida, going up to Albuquerque, does that elevation and stuff, does that really make a difference? I know, Tito Ortiz trains with Big Bear and things like that, but does that really make that much of a difference, Cage?
Oh, man, it's a big difference. I mean, I couldn't even explain it or put it into words. I mean, the only way to say is you'd have to just come out here and check it out yourself. I mean, it's just the first – I started my camp in Florida, I was getting some good training in over there, and then, wanted to finish the last month of my camp out here, and I felt like I was in pretty good shape already because I had already been training, and then I got up here, I thought I was in great shape, and just my first sparring session, I thought I was gonna have an asthma attack. I thought I was dying. The elevation just kicked in, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I went up to my coaches, and I was like, oh, something's wrong with me. I think I'm having an asthma attack. I don't even have asthma. And, they just told me to calm down, just elevation. And, but after a week or so, I acclimated to the conditions, and I feel great, man. I can't wait to, I'm going to be in great shape. I can't wait to get back to Tampa and get in the cage and, I'll really see the benefits.
Rez, listen, I got to ask you a question, man. My wife and I had a baby in September. How are you doing it, man? How are you putting it all together? You're training for a fight here in a couple weeks. You got a baby. I know those are both full-time jobs in themselves. How are you keeping it straight, brother?
It's hard, man. I mean, you just kind of – it's hard being away from the family. It's hard, being away from my kids and my fiance, But definitely, just got to – it's business, Just like if I had any other if I was working in corporate America and I had to go away for a business trip, it's the same difference, I come out here and tell my wife, I had to leave a little bit of money and say, here, hold down the fort and I got to come out here and get this training in, and, you know, I'll be back in a month. And, you know, I talk to her every night and talk to the kids, and we Skype and do all that stuff. But, you know, I do it, but I try to keep my head here. You know, I can't really focus too much on the problems at home or you know, the bills or any other the daily grind stuff. You know, I just kind of zone out and just put all my attention is going into my training and my runs and, you know, my sparring and, you know, Ricky Rainey. You know, that's all I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I appreciate you. You're bringing me to my next question here. You're 3 weeks out, 3 weeks, a little bit longer than 3 weeks out. You're going to, I mean, you're fighting Ricky Rainey, obviously a very formidable opponent. What are you expecting from Rainey? I mean, you know, where are you at your camp right now?
I didn't hear the last part. So what am I expecting from Rainey?
Yeah, I'm just, what are you expecting from Ricky Rainey to do in the cage? And where are you in your camp as far as your game plan for that?
Well, I won't really say too much about my game plan, but I pretty much expect him just to sit there and stand up with me, you know, just, you know, I expect him to do this, what he's done in all his other fights. You know, he wants to stand in the middle of the ring. You know, he definitely likes to control the center. He wants to, you know, establish his jab and try to set up that big right hand. You know, I'm expecting more of the same, you know what I mean? I don't see him trying any new tricks. I mean, if he did, I just think he would fall right into my game plan. I think, you know, his best bet is going to have to be to stand up and trade with me. And, you know, I feel comfortable there. So I just feel comfortable in every aspect of the game. You know, if he wants to stand up and trade, you know, it's going to be fine. We're going to have a slugfest. And, you know, I just feel like I have a lot more weapons. You know, I have a bigger arsenal. I have, you know, just a lot more to fall back on. I mean, I you know, it's going to be a great fight for the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking through. I mean, you definitely have more of the experience, and I'm looking through your fights here. And to be honest with you, your cardio is not an issue, man. So get out of those mountains and get back down here to Florida. You don't need to be up there with all that nonsense. Your cardio looks great already, but you're coming back here to Florida. What are you expecting? Are you nervous about coming back to fight in front of your hometown?
Oh no, man! I just get so pumped. You know, I mean, I don't get nervous. I just get so excited. It's like a drug for me. Every time I get out and step into the cage, you know, I just feed off the adrenaline. And you know, my fans in Spring Hill, Tampa, you know, I'm just gonna feed off that crowd. You know, the energy in that arena is gonna be rocking, and I'm just gonna feed off of it. And you know, I feel great. Yeah, I think my cardio is good. I didn't need to come out here, but, you know, I want, you know, my fans to see the best Reggie Pena. I want them to see the best regulator, you know, they can't see. So me coming out here just brings my game to another level, elevate my cardio. You know, I was actually expecting to fight Nikolai Curry, and, you know, I know what a great camp he comes from, you know, with the Black Zillions. So, you know, I just said, all right, you know, I'll come out here, you know, step my game up, come to Albuquerque, you know, I'll train with the best. So, but, you know, unfortunately, that didn't happen, and now it's Ricky Rainey. So, it's all working out. You know, it's going to be great, man. I just can't wait to June 14th.
Right on, man. So, listen, you're coming into this fight on a two-fight win streak, put together two great fights, unanimous decision against Josh Clark and a beautiful guillotine against John Salter. If you're able to pull out a win against Ricky Rainey, man, are you looking for a title shot next time around?
Yeah, I'm looking for a title shot. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about the title. So, if you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's whatever John Fresco and XFC wants to do, you know. So, but definitely I feel like I've earned my shot, you know. I fought, you know, whoever they put in front of me. You know, I fought John Salter on, you know, short notice. You know, I came in and filled in for Josh Saban. You know, but you know, like I said, at the end of the day, it's whatever the XFC decides to do. I know, you know, they have a couple of other divisions they're working on right now and getting some other championship fights, you know, going on in other divisions. So, I guess I'll just have to wait my turn, but definitely I feel like, you know, I'm ready for a title shot. I am ready for a title shot. I just feel like it's definitely the time is here.
Right on, man. Now, do you still hold the Atlas Fights welterweight title?
No, I do not hold that Atlas Fights welterweight title. I did not lose it. I actually had to vacate it. I could no longer make the 170. You know, I, just with age, you know.
I know that, brother.
I got so, you know, my metabolism slowed down. I could, you know, but I could make 170, but I just didn't feel strong there. You know, I just felt like it was just a big cut for me. You know, I walk around, you know, 215, so, you know what I'm saying? So it was a big cut for me, and I just felt kind of dehydrated. But so I had to vacate it, and luckily one of my, buddies, Danny Ruiz, came in, took care of business, and he's holding the belt right now, so I'm glad we keep it in the family. So, I wish him the best. But, you know, I don't actually rule out maybe a comeback to 170, you know. I just, just start a little rumors out there. But, it's, don't ever say never, you know. I mean, learning some new tricks, you know, to cut weight the right way. So, you know, maybe I'll make a return to 170 in the future, you know. But, 85, 70, maybe I'll play with both, you know. We'll see, you know, wherever this game takes me.
I got to ask, man. You're walking around at 215. I understand that age takes over and, you know, married and kids takes over. How in the world do you – now, cutting weight is a phenomenon to me anyway in itself. How do you cut weight – how do you cut 45 pounds and get down to 170 and you're still talking about possibly doing it? I mean, you got a new nutritionist or something? Tell me how you're cutting all that weight.
Well, I haven't done it in a long time, you know, but definitely – So, you know, I haven't done it yet, so I can't really say, you know, I gotta try it out, see if I could. But yeah, man, the main thing is definitely the nutrition. You know, that's been one of my biggest weaknesses, you know, the nutrition. I'm a fat boy at heart, and I just love to eat, you know. So, I've cleaned up my act. You know, I've been eating really clean lately, and you know, just, you know, it helps. It makes a big difference, you know. So, you know, staying, taking my vitamins, supplements, and eating clean, you know, is definitely a big difference.
Yeah. Now, is that one of the biggest, I don't want to say stressors, or is that the most difficult for you is to kind of keep your weight in check? Because it seems like your MMA game is just, it all comes together. But is the weight the most difficult for you?
The eating thing, man, yeah, it's probably the hardest part about it, but probably one of the, I wouldn't say, you know, anything's harder than the other, but it's all, you know, anything that you love to do is going to come easy, you know, even if it's hard, it's going to be easy because you love it, you know, but I don't love eating clean, you know, I love eating. You know, I love to eat my junk food, you know, I love it, you know, but so that's the hardest part, you know, but it's just all about discipline, you know. If I want to be successful, I have to eat clean, I have to, you know, do all the little things, you know, I have to take supplements and drink all the nasty shakes, and that's probably, I guess, probably one of the most difficult parts.
Yeah, hey, Reggie, as a fighter, so much time is dedicated to being the best. You know, every fighter wants to be the best, and every fighter trains to be the best. And you got so much time and so much dedication put towards that. Like, what do you like to do when you're off? You know, like, what do you do when you sit back and relax?
Let's see. Well, on my spare time, you know, it's all about being with my family. You know, I just try to give the best. You know, just spend the most time I can with my girls and my boy, you know, just, you know, that's my spare time. That takes it all up, you know. When I'm not working, you know, I'm training, and when I'm not training, I'm with my kids. So, you know, it's pretty much it.
When, so your fight coming up here in 3 weeks. Ricky Rainey. after Ricky Rainey, where do you see yourself going? I know you said earlier XFC has a mind, but where do you, I'm sorry, that noise is killing me. You said you want to, you know, wherever XFC takes you, but, and I know you want to fight for the title, but what do you, I mean, do you want to fight for the title?
Hello? I'm sorry, I was losing you there for a second. You're breaking up.
No, that's all right, man. I was just asking. I know you said earlier about the XFC, wherever the XFC takes you, and you know, you'll kind of be at their mercy. But if you had XFC brass in front of you, do you ask immediately for that title fight if you beat Ricky Rainey, or are we getting another warm up fight for it?
I don't know what, you know. I don't really know what they got in store. You know, I think. Were you asking if after this fight I'm getting a title shot? I'm sorry, I couldn't really make you out. But
I'm asking is, I know you said a little bit ago that you wanted a title shot. Are you ready at this very moment? So you beat Ricky Rainey, and you have XFC brass in front of you. Do you ask them, hey, listen, I've done everything you've asked of me. This is my sixth fight here in the XFC. Stack me up against the title holder. Is that what you want to happen next?
Oh, of course. You know, but the problem is there is no title holder right now. The title is vacant. They don't even have a belt. As far as I'm aware, they don't even have a title for the middleweight yet. So, you know, there's a lot of things in the works. You know, and, you know, they got to sign. I think they're trying to sign a few more guys, you know. So, you know, I don't know, you know, the whole business side of it. But, yeah, do I feel like I'm ready? Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm ready, you know, right now. Next fight, you know, I feel like this fight should be for a title. You know, I feel like my next fight should be for a title. I'm ready for that belt, you know. So it's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
Okay.
Right on, man. Listen, Reggie, man, we want to thank for being with us tonight, man. We know you're out there training, putting a lot of hours and work in out there, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be on with us tonight, man. Before we let you go, you got any shout-outs or sponsors you want to give out?
I want to thank, you know, all my friends and family back home in Spring Hill, Florida, Tampa, Florida. I want to thank Champions MMA, Mean One MMA, Jackson's MMA, Prestige Mobile Detailing, Clear Sky Auto. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, but yeah, man, that's it, man. Just can't wait till June 14th.
Right on, man. Well, thanks again for joining us, man. Enjoy it out there, man. Get some great training in, and we'll see you on June 14th, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
No problem, man. Take it easy.
Reggie, all right, Reggie, man. Training out in. Out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, man. Let me tell you what, he is in the right place to do big things, man. You know, there's some huge MMA gyms out there. Obviously, Greg Jackson's gym, training some of the best in the world. You know, then I didn't even realize that that Keith Jardine had that gym out there. But you know, I mean, I guess after you're a punching bag for so long, you got to do something after you retire or get retired. But I mean, good for Jardine. You know, I like Jardine, I really do. But you know, the guy. He's a little over his hill, so maybe training is the next best thing. But I'll tell you what, he couldn't be in a better place if he wants to get better, bigger, better, and stronger.
Wait, were you talking about Keith Jardine or Rashad Evans? I forget.
Well, either one. I mean, if he's he could have stayed right in the state of he could have stayed right here in the state of Florida if he wanted to train with Rashad the Punching Bag Evans.
Listen, man, Keith Jardine was as you said, a pretty solid punching bag. Keith Jardine's one of the most impressive fights I ever saw with Keith Jardine was when his last fight against Hodger Gracie. Hodger being head and shoulders a better fighter than Keith Jardine, and delivered a vicious beating to Keith Jardine. And Jardine hung in there, man. He lost a unanimous decision to Hodger. I was impressed. I was like, you know what? I've never been a fan. I never cared for Keith Jardine. Nothing personal against the guy. Just was never a fighter I was cared much about, but, he went out, I thought, with a bang. He went out against a top, an amazing young fighter, one of the top practitioners in the world as far as BJJ goes. And he hung in there, man. And I thought that was a great last fight for his career. What was a fairly long career, you know, 30 fights. So he's got some.
Yeah, you're never
gonna. What's up?
I was just gonna say you're never gonna find a guy with better heart than Keith Jardine. He's never gonna quit.
Oh yeah.
He's gonna let you punch him into oblivion. You know, I just, you know, it's all about fighter safety when it comes to MMA and you know, the different organizations now. So, I mean, I just think, you know, the fighters now are just too bigger, too stronger, too faster. You know, and just like Reggie said, you know, time catches up with everybody, man. You know, time doesn't stand still for anybody. So, you know, I mean, Keith Jardine getting, getting punched around at, you know, 52 years old or however old he is. I mean, he looks at least 52, but, you know,
he's 37.
He's a young man, then. He's a very young man at 37, because I'm 37, so he's a young buck, that fella. No, but, I mean, honestly, I would never take anything away from him as far as heart and whatever. But, I mean, to be honest with you, back to Reggie, I mean, if he wants to give Ricky Rainey a run, there is no better place in the country as far as MMA overall.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's right. I mean,
yeah.
That's absolutely right. You know, I mean, you can say what you want about Greg Jackson and whether he's, you know, bad for the sport or whatever, but, I mean, you can't take anything away from the guy. He just produces winners. So, I mean,
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's going to be a great fight, man. Reggie and Ricky, two big dudes, just brawlers, man. They're going to bring it, and that's just one of the many great fights that are lined up for XFC 24, man. And like I've said, you know, we talked with John Prisco for a few minutes last week, and, you know, as I said, man, XFC 24 has got four fights. There are four main fights. Each one of them could be main events. You know, you get Kevin Foran versus Eric Reynolds, Dave Corshane versus Luis Santos, you know, Ricky Rainey, Reggie Pena, Scott Holtzman, John Mallow. It's just a great fight card, man. From the top to the bottom, there's some really awesome regional, local guys that are on that fight card. It's going to be a great night of fights. It's going to be an awesome triumphant return back to Tampa for the XFC 2. So I'm looking forward to being there, man. Can't wait to see there, see the lights and the action and just experience the XFC live. So,
you know what I love about local MMA, and, you know, I know UFC does it too, and I know Bellator does it too, but it just seems with, you know, with small, I don't want to say smaller because XFC puts on a great show. It doesn't matter the size. They do a great event. I'm just saying, you know, let's not kid ourselves. They are not the UFC. They don't have the financial backing to be them at this point anyway. But, so we're going to call them a local promotion maybe. They put on, you know, a show here in Florida, and they just stack the card with local fighters, and I think that's awesome. I really appreciate that, and I know a lot of the fighters appreciate that. And the XFC does an incredible job with their events. So they put on, you know, top-notch events, local fighters in their home state, hometowns, you know, whatever, just giving these guys an opportunity. I think John Prisco and the XFC guys do a great job. And, you know, I mean, just look at the event. There's 12 fights, and, you know, you could have had, you know, three or four of them as main events. So, I mean, just look at the talent. And then you kind of look to see where a lot of these people are from, and it's Florida, Florida, Florida. So, you you can't knock that. So,
yeah.
That's my feeling, man.
You know what? As we transition, we're going to be going live here in the next couple minutes with a local guy out of the Tampa Bay area. You know, a guy I get to see him. I have the privilege of seeing him quite a bit, seeing him at the local fights in the area, cornering, coaching, helping teammates. But he's also trying to put together a career of his own. So far, a career, he's 2-1. He's fought a couple different places. He's got a fight coming up next month. We're supposed to fight tomorrow. Didn't work out. But that wasn't going to change the fact that I definitely wanted him to be on the show. So, and it's the Pioneer, man, Dervin Pioneer Lopez, great dude. You know, just this past WCFL4, caught him in the lobby, and we get to sit, stood and talk to him for about 10 minutes. It's kind of what he's got going on. You know, he was looking forward to the CFA fight, and unfortunately it didn't work out. But I know he's got his focus is on Fight Time 15 next month, so he'll be looking to train and get ready for that. And at the same time, I'm sure I'll still be seeing him out at the local fights and training and helping corner some of his teammates. I mean, he's a great dude, just a pretty big dude. I'm glad him and I are on good terms. I would never want to be on this dude's bad side. But, yeah, I mean, he put together a pretty good amateur record. You know, they tell you in Florida you got to have 5 amateur fights before you can go pro. So what did Dervin do? He went out, fought 5 times, won 5 times. So after that he went pro, had a couple nice wins to start off that pro career. A close decision loss up in Pittsburgh at Gladiators of the Cage, or not Pittsburgh, but Pennsylvania at Gladiators of the Cage, and he's looking to come back down here to Florida and get rocking out there at Fight Time 15. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, man, I just want to clear something up before we go to Dervin. I got him on hold, but I just want to clear something up. I'm catching a little flack for a comment I made a couple minutes ago, and I want to clear this up immediately. I'm not taking anything away from the XFC when I said that they were a local show. By no means was I downplaying their shows, their size, their anything. All I was saying was that they are not financially backed with the UFC. They are not. I don't know what class to call them. Whether I should call them a smaller promotion. I don't know. So that's why I call them local. I know they're going international.
Yeah,
they're doing big things in the MMA world, and I know they're putting on big shows, and I know they're doing, you know, great events. I have nothing but respect for the XFC, and to be honest with you, I would rather spend my money with them than anybody. I was using that as a as an adjective, I guess, to explain them. So without further ado,
absolutely, man. Real quick, just to add to that, you know, I knew exactly what you meant by Jason. There's nothing local about them. It's just the fact that they're a Tampa-based, Florida-based promotion. When they came up, they came out of here, and that's the only sense of the word local that I consider them, is that they're from here, they're coming back home. But as far as local goes, as far as they only reach out in this area, everybody knows they're huge. They're going international. They're doing great things. They put on great fights. They take care of their fighters. They are a huge promotion. The only sense of the word local that I consider them is the fact that they came out of Tampa, Florida, and then they're coming back home for
absolutely
a great fight.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, because I think John Persico and those guys over there at XFC do an incredible job, and that's exactly what I was meaning, that they are down here out of Florida. So that was it. Please, no disrespect from anybody. And without further ado, I'd like to get Dervin here. He's been waiting long enough. Dervin, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.
Ain't
thanks
no
for
problem,
being
man.
On hold for a couple minutes there.
No, you're fine. So what's
listen,
going
man,
on?
I,
how you guys doing?
Doing great, man. I talked. I just want to give a little backstory. You know, we talked a few weeks back at the WCFL event, and told, you know, I told you, and I try to always be true to my word. I said, you know, when your fight's coming up, I want to get you on the air. I wanted to get you on before. I didn't know until yesterday that the fight got scrapped. You know, I don't like to really mess with fighters the week of. I like to leave them alone. So I wanted to get you on before. And then, you know, as I'm putting together the show this week, I'm like, oh, man, Dervin's got a fight coming up. Cannot leave him out. Have to have him on the show. We talked yesterday. You broke the news. You said, you know, the fight got scrapped. It wasn't going to happen. I did not care. I said, you know what? Screw that fight. Screw whatever. Still want to talk to Dervin. You're a great dude. Love getting to sit back and chat with you whenever we run into each other at these fights, man. I mean, you're welcome on here as often as my co-host is.
No, I appreciate it. That means a lot to me. The fight itself was a big opportunity also, and it broke my heart when it didn't go through. I think I found out maybe 2 days ago, and the weigh-ins were today. So it was a pretty big blow. But we're going to manage. My manager was able and kind enough to get me a fight in June 21st, so I was appreciative of that. So,
yeah, let's talk about that. That's June 21st out at Fight Time 15 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Fight I will be cage side for, so I'll be looking forward to seeing you there, man. How did things come together with Fight Time Promotions?
Well, my manager, you know, he has a lot of connections in Miami, so you know, it's it just came natural to him. You know, I always try to tell him to get me fights as soon as possible. I typically don't take a lot of damage through fights, so I like staying active. You know, a lot of things what people don't know is, like, I've had maybe 3 or 4 fights already canceled on me. You know, after the close decision loss I got in Pennsylvania, 2 weeks after, I got a fight in West Virginia, and that one got canceled as well. So it's just been really difficult getting opponents to fight, and it's really tough trying to stay consistent. But the guy I heard was going to fight me on the 21st, I heard he's a hard-nosed guy, stand-up guy. I finally get to fight a stand-up guy.
Right on,
so it's
right
going to be
on,
fun.
Man.
And, yeah, and I don't think he's going to be backing down, so it's going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah. Now, are you at a leisure where you can say the name of who that possible opponent's going to be, or is that something that's still kind of under wraps at the moment?
I was given, you know, a few options, and I know as a stand-up guy, I haven't signed anything just yet, but I'm
okay.
Pretty sure the guy's gonna sign up. But yeah, he's fought for fight time a couple of times and has a really good record. You know, I'm always trying to fight the best guys, always trying to fight the fights that's gonna take me to step closer to the next level as possible, or as fast as possible.
Right on, man.
But yeah, I'll give you all the scoop, of course, once I get the contract and I sign it, I'll let you know immediately.
Right on, man. Well, now you got that coming up, and I know as of right now, you know, your focus is on that possible fight. Now, are you looking to possibly get on a fight in late July, maybe that RFC 28 card?
No, no doubt about that. I mean, with the recent situation with CFA, you know, they've been very kind, very good at working out situations with me where, you know, I've already had 3 fights with them that unfortunately got canceled through CFA, but they've been very kind enough to allow me to fight outside of the promotion. So, honestly, I don't see why not. I think it's going to be a really good opportunity, and I always love fighting for, you know, the hometown people. You know, I love staying here. I don't have to travel. I don't have to do all this crazy preparation for weight or, you know, travel or even staying at a hotel or anything like that. I'm just at home. So it just makes it a lot easier. And fighting in front of everybody I know it makes everything so much better. So I'm pretty sure it's going to go through, but yeah.
Right on, man.
If you're fighting in front of everybody, you know, does that make it a little more nerve-wracking, or do you just go, you know, kind of let your guard down a little bit and just, you know, stand in the pocket and fire bombs? You know,
oh, man, fighting in front of everybody I know makes me train more. It makes me train harder. I feel like I have
Fair enough.
You know, everybody's on my shoulder, the whole city, all my friends, I can't let them down, so I train twice as much as hard as I possibly could. So I love it. I love the pressure better.
I don't even know if I would sign a fight in my hometown. I'd have to fight, like, out of the country or something. I have none of my friends not tell anybody because I would just, like, kind of turtle up and whatever. But
I mean, yeah, but, you know, with the amateurs, it's funny because nowadays, and Matt can attest to it, you know, there's always amateur fights now in Tampa. And back when I started, like, 2-3 years ago, I had to be traveling everywhere. I went to Tennessee to fight an amateur fight. I went to Miami. I went to Destin. And crazy. I just wish it was like that before, you know. I would have easily gotten, like, 10 amateur fights and didn't have to travel. But, I mean, that's the fun aspect about it. So, I like it.
Hey, Derrick, you know, you've gotten a couple of fights pulled out from underneath you. You got kind of the proverbial rug yanked out from underneath you. Tell me the hardest part about that. I know the emotions and the emotional roller coaster, kind of. But, you know, how are you training as far as a mixed martial artist? Are you training just overall stuff, or do you really kind of put one game plan in place for a specific opponent, and then they get yanked out from money and you're kind of scrambling? Take me through one of your fight camps, and then one of these fights gets pulled.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm going to answer as much as I could, but
sure.
The hardest part, honestly, is the mental capacity and mental focus in terms of getting ready for the fight. Like, you know, I'm always fighting. The thing is, I always have fights that pull out, so I'm always trying to stay in shape. I'm always trying to be in that mentality. And unfortunately, it can be a burden. It can burn you out mentally. And I've recently you know, figured how to maybe gauge that because I also work full time. But honestly,
okay.
Mentally is probably the hardest thing. And to answer your question about the training camp, I'm always trying to evolve. I typically am always going to fight a grappler. So my training is always training off my back, getting up, and then, you know, my boxing usually is what I'm always trying to evolve at as well. But, you know, being a mixed martial artist, we're always trying to evolve and get better in every aspect to plug up all the holes that we have in our game. So, I mean, that's what helped me against most of my opponents. But, yeah, the hardest part is literally mental. You know, it's all the mental, staying at that, running on those RPMs throughout the whole year and trying to fight and trying to fight short-term fights. I mean, it's just, it's a wreck.
Sure.
The worst is, like right now, you know, I was cutting weight. You know, I was cutting from 205, you know, where I normally am at. And then 2 days before, they tell me there's no fight, you know? And then I'm like, you know, mental preparation, the cutting of the weight, and then something like that happens. It's tough.
Yeah, now are you like a scorned ex-girlfriend when you find out that you're not getting a fight and you've been cutting all this weight and stuff? And it's like you get broken up with, you just go out to the bar and just eat and drink as much as you can? Is that kind of – because that's what I would be doing, to be honest with you.
I've been, and earlier when I started my career, I did that. I did that for my amateurs. But I mean, now I have such a great manager where he, you know, he can find me short notice fights as really fast. You know, he has a lot of connections, and that's Willie Navarro. You know, he's a guerrilla management team. But so with him on my side, I always have to be on my P's and Q's and always be on point with diet, and so my cardio always has to be up because, you know, I told him I want to fight easily 10 to 12 times this year, easily. And
yeah. Wow.
I think we're getting to that point. So,
wow, that's a workload. Yeah, that would kind of suck if you're like if you just find out you're not fighting, you know, on the 14th, and then you go head out to the Buffalo Wild Wings and pack down 24 wings, and he's got you booked for a fight on the, you know, the next night. That would kind of suck. You'd be on the treadmill. Let me ask you one more quick question before I turn you back over to Matt. You're here training your camp for the fight coming up. You said a little bit, and I looked at your record. There's submissions, there's TKO wins. You know, what are you working on most right now? For kind of, what, I don't want you to give away a lot of your secrets. Please don't do that. But
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
All right, I appreciate that. What are you working on right now? What do you feel like in your heart of hearts that you need to focus on, that you need to really focus on and get better at? I mean, obviously you're better at one thing than the other. You know, where are you at in your camp right now?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I work on my striking every day. You know, every day my swing gets better. I like, you know, the good thing about having a striker as an opponent is I can actually focus on it. But I'm in the gym right now. I work out of Bill Banks MMA, and he's primarily a jiu-jitsu guy. You know, so my jiu-jitsu is always improving.
Hey, Dervin, I think we're losing you, man. You're kind of fading in and out here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right. Yeah, what I was saying was with Banks MMA, you know, we're always doing jiu-jitsu, and because if you're not wrestling, your jiu-jitsu has to be on point. So that's typically where all my training is going towards is the jiu-jitsu side and trying to get the experience. So, yeah, certainly, you know, my stand-up is pretty much the better one.
Fair
Are you guys still there?
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
still
here,
man.
All right, perfect. No,
yeah,
my phone's acting up. I'm sorry.
You're good, brother. I appreciate the candidness. And, you know, a lot of fighters coming up to a fight would say, you know, I don't want to talk about that. So I appreciate that, man. Thanks.
No, it's, I mean, you're always going to go out there. You know, I like the how Chael Sonnen puts it, you know. He's going to, the music is going to hit the speakers. He's going to go out there and go into a fist fight. And that's the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, man, Dervin, I know, you know, what I was telling him before you came on the air, man, I get to see you. I got to see you fight your first pro fight at the RFC 28, man, against Michael Rideout. And since then, man, I see you all. You know, we run into each other quite often. You come to a lot of fights. You're always cornering guys and helping some young teammates. Do you think that helps you as a fighter? Is that more just kind of your way of trying to pay it forward.
That's funny. I like that. You know, paying it forward is a good way of putting it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel as once I'm done with the fighting, I'll be most likely doing the coaching. I would like to get into the judging and refereeing of fights. So I think that's where the sport really needs knowledgeable people. But, yeah, cornering helps me with, you know, experience, you know, being in that environment all the time really takes me to that next level. So I love it, and I love being a support to my teammates, you know, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be, you know, where I'm at now. So absolutely.
Right, man. So as far as wanting to judge, man, I think that's probably the first time we've heard a fighter say that on here. Where does that come from, and what, I mean, is that kind of like a little side passion of yours, or, I mean, where does it come from that you want to help judging and learn how to judge?
Oh, it's my last fight. My last fight.
Fair enough.
Honestly, my last fight, the guy honestly was defending the whole time. I got him in maybe, you know, I should have finished him, but that comes with experience. But I got him, honestly, in probably in submissions in each round, maybe 5 or 6 submissions. I took his back in almost every round, and they still gave him the fight because he was on top. You know, like, he won the fight by defending the whole time without passing my guard or trying to even get to a submission hold. So I just think it's to the point where they're judging based on wrestling and not just overall effective grappling. And that's where the problem lies, and that's where you see a lot of people getting. I mean, I'm not saying I got robbed, but you know, things should have been a little bit different, especially when you take somebody's back. It's the most dominant, you know, part of grappling. So that's the main reason. You know, the sport needs to evolve and not have a boxing guy that's never grappled before or never competed before, you know, score mixed martial arts. It isn't fair and it's unjust. So
yeah, dude, I couldn't agree more. I feel like a lot of the fights I see, I tend to, you know, when I'm sitting cageside, I tend to end up being next to a judge or being near a judge. So I try to watch them, kind of see how they do things, what they base their decisions on. And I really feel like a lot of times, especially in the amateur ranks and in the local promotions, I feel like the judges judge their fights based on the last thing they saw rather than what happened throughout the whole round. So you could have a guy who, you know, in the amateurs, you got 3-minute rounds. Say this guy gets dominated for 2.5 minutes, but then the last 30 seconds, he puts something together. And I feel like they judge based on the last thing they saw rather than the fight as a whole. And unfortunately, I think a lot of guys tend to get screwed over by that. And then you got referees, as you're saying, that, you know, a boxing guy judging or reffing a MMA fight just isn't right. You know, I've seen guys that are obviously kickboxing guys and referees that are specific to kickboxing and Muay Thai and stuff, and then they're out there reffing MMA fights. And when these guys hit the mat, they're standing them up, and I'm just like, you know, this is mixed martial arts, you know. If you're not going to let them fight on the ground, then you're making it boxing. You're taking away the very nature of what mixed martial arts is. And I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm glad to hear a fighter kind of say, you know what, I kind of want to get into judging and stuff too, because I think that judging should come from a fighter mindset, because, you know, nobody understands what's going on inside that cage like a fighter does. And when you got some guy who's just, you know, oh, I'm a fan of MMA, okay, why don't you come on over and judge our fight, you know. So, yeah, man.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Hopefully, the next batch of, you know, all the fighters that are fighting now, when they get to the next generation, that's what they do. I know Ricardo Almeida, he does some judging up in New Jersey and things like that. You know, I know a few fighters that are judging and reffing and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's going to the right direction. It's all going to the right aspect of it. So hopefully we get there sooner rather than later. That way it saves some of the fighters that deserve the wins and they're not getting taken away wins. That, you know, it's just silly. Having blemishes that shouldn't be there, but, I mean, that's, unfortunately, that's what the issue is, and hopefully we'll get there faster. That's all.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Dervin, man, it's always an honor. I love talking with you. I hit you up on kind of short notice this time around, which I don't really like to do, but, you know, you're a good dude, man. I look forward to seeing you. I'm sure I'll see you out there at WCFL 5.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, listen, before we let you go, man, any sponsors or shout-outs or where people can find you on the social networking sites, man, just go ahead and give any shout-outs you want to give.
Yeah, just, you know, if you guys can go on my Facebook. You know, it's Dervin Pioneer Lopez. I'm trying to get as much likes. I'm trying to get a website up put up together as soon as possible. Sponsorships aren't as easy as it looks to get, but I fight for the fans. I fight for my family. I fight for everybody that believes in me, and those are my two sponsors, you know. So hopefully I'm going to get out there in RFC. Most likely I will fight there, and I'm going to sell a lot of tickets. It's going to be fun. So
right on, dude.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for joining us, Dervin, man. Hey, not a problem, dude. You're a great dude. Exciting young fighter, man. Can't wait to see. I'm actually sitting here while I'm watching your FCC2 fight against Mike Cora, man. So I found a video of it. I'm going to sit here and enjoy that over the next couple minutes. So
were you able to see the one in New Jersey?
I haven't found that one yet, though. I was trying to search them out. Do you have them on your YouTube page?
No, I try not to do that. Everybody scouts me out. If you go on go on my Facebook and you'll see it there. It was in Super Bowl weekend. Dude, amazing fight. Great fight. Check it out. It's nice. I had Dan Mergliotta even give me a lot of good compliments. So it was a good fight. So you should check it out. And everybody
absolutely
else
will
listening,
do that.
Check it out. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Take it easy, Dervin. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, have a good night. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Let me tell you something, Jason. You'll find very few fighters as nice and genuine as Dervin, as caring and willing to chill. You know when you got, you know, he's not focusing on his career. You know, he's coming out to these fights and he's cornering teammates and stuff. Typically, cornermen are pretty focused and say very little, and you know, they'll talk with you, they'll be cool, but you know, they're focused on making sure that their fighter's ready. You know, and he's able to manage that to stay focused for his teammates, but every time I see him, man, he's real genuine. You know, when I saw him last, he said, you know, he told me, he's like, congratulations on getting into USF, man. I'm happy for you and hope good things for you. So he's just a very genuine, real dude. And just can't wait. You know, it's a shame when you see fighters who don't deserve to be in a cage getting fights like nothing. But when you see good guys like him, the good guys of the sport, having a hard time getting fights to stick, man, it's just a shame. You know, it's one of the few drawbacks of this field, you know, because guys who probably shouldn't be getting a fight, but they run their mouth good enough to get themselves into a fight, they don't deserve fights like a guy like Dervin Lopez, who, you know, leaves his heart in the cage every time he steps in there. You know, he's hustling and fighting every day, year round, and it's just you just like to see more guys like him be getting great opportunities than some of the other people in the sport, like, you know, Chael Sonnen, for example. But
I haven't. I've never talked to Dervin or even had much interaction with him. But you know, the 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it was that we just spent with him, I think you can see the genuine in him. You can see the fact that he really cares. I mean, you know, when I talked to him off air for a little bit, he's like, "Hey, man, how are you? How's your night going?" And you know, just a nice. You know, I don't want to call him a kid, but you know, younger than I am, he's a kid, you know. So he just seemed like
are younger than you.
you're lucky you're a couple hours away, or I drive up there and take care of you. But he just seemed like a really genuine dude and somebody that just, you know, has a passion for mixed martial arts. And, you know, I wasn't just blowing smoke up his ass when I said, you know, I appreciated his response when I asked him about what he's working on in his camp. And he said, you can ask me anything you want. I'll tell you anything. And a lot of times, you know, we talk to a lot of players that, and they give us this response. Well, I don't want to talk to you about that because I'm doing, you know, I'm training and blah, blah, blah. You know, he gets it, I guess is my point. He gets the fact that, you know, the cage, you train hard, you go into a fight, the door shuts and you fight. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You can have the guy come watch it at your gym. You know, just a better fighter is going to fight, and you just work hard to do things. So I wish him the best of luck, and I think big things coming for him, for that young man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He's a great dude. I'm looking forward to him. I hope the Fight Time 15 fight comes together. out at Fight Time Promotions in Fort Lauderdale. I love those guys. I do want to say, actually, I don't know if I've said this yet. I do want to say on the air, you know, if this reaches anybody's ears out there at Fight Time, I had to miss the last Fight Time event, Fight Time 14, a couple weeks back. It was the weekend after I had my wisdom teeth removed, and I was just in no shape to be driving 5 hours. I wasn't even supposed to be driving anywhere, but, you know, tell somebody they can't drive or have to lay in bed for a week, man. It's miserable. So, but anyways, I do want to say publicly, Howard Davis, Carla Davis, I talk with Carla all the time. I try to work real close with them because they run great fights, a great promotion, and they're absolutely huge in South Florida, man. They're just getting bigger and bigger. So I want to say, I apologize for not being able to be out there. I was able to still get all the results and supply them through Madhouse, and which I try to do. If I'm not in an event that I wanted to get to, I do my best to get those results and still promote that event and help support the promotion, because if it's not for websites like MMA Madhouse, a lot of these promotions aren't getting their names out there, and a lot of them aren't really being able to publicize. Not to say Fight Time Promotions has any problem with that, because they're great marketers. They do a great job, put on great fights, and their name speaks for itself. But I like to be able to do everything I can in my power to help out these promotions and help them grow. So I'll be excited. I'm already thinking about it. I can't wait to be out there June 21st at Fight Time 15, and I think it'll always be a major regret that I wasn't at Fight Time 14. You know, and what really sucks and what really pissed me off about that is that the wisdom teeth had to come out. I was in some extreme pain, and I did it the beginning of the week. I did it on a Tuesday. I was like, you know what? I have it out on Tuesday. I'll be good by Friday. Make the drive. Have no problems. I couldn't have been more wrong. I wasn't good until like the following Wednesday. I mean, I was. It just was not a fun experience. I'm glad it's behind me. I'm glad they're gone, and I'm glad to be able to talk again. I was kind of losing my mind.
I'm going to be honest with you. We got a nice little break, and you know, we were all able to get a word in edgewise. But you know, we definitely I had my wisdom teeth removed forever ago as well, and it is not a fun experience. So you're back, you're at it, and we got one more guest this evening, Jacob Silva, on board. Anything specific you're looking to deal with Jacob?
We're going to talk a little bit with him. I actually got hooked up with him. I want to say thanks to Diana Ramirez. We've had Diana's son on before, Izzy Ramirez. Had him on our, I think it was our first all-kids show. Real quick, while I'm thinking about that, we will be looking to do another all-kids show soon. Talk it out with Jason, figure out when we're going to do that. We love having the kids on. Sometimes they're a little at loss for words, and it can be rough interviews sometimes, but you know what? I don't care. If they came on here and said two words, it would still be an honor to have them on, because I think that they're just a lot of them are really bright, shining kids, and they're going to bring some great things to the sport. So we'll be looking to do that again soon. You want to hit me up, hit either one of us up, or hit Carl Mortensen up on Facebook. We got a lot of passion for these young future fighters and for the great things that they're doing. So, Izzy's mom, Diana, hit me up, and she's like, have you heard of this guy, Jacob Silva? They call him the little animal. I was like, not really. You know, he's out of Houston. Didn't know much about him. He's an amateur guy, young guy. And I was like, you know, hook me up with him. Let's. I'll talk with him and see. And you know, I hit him up this week and say, you know, Jacob, what you got going on? Would you be able to come on the show? And you know, we had to work it around his school schedule. He's 25 years old, looking to, he loves fighting. He's got a great 8-3 amateur record. We're going to hit on his title fights. I'm at an 8-3 amateur record. He's had 7 title fights. So it's definitely something I want to talk to him about and actually find out how many of those titles he holds. I think that's remarkable. 11 career fights, and 7 of those have been for a title. I think that speaks for itself. But fighting's not even his biggest passion. His biggest passion is his firefighting, his EMT, and just super exciting. And just can't wait to talk to him. We're going to get him live here in the next couple minutes. And he's just out of EMT class. Actually, we had to work the interview around his EMT class, so glad that he was able to do that. And I know he's actually messaging me on Facebook. He's eager to get on the phone with us. He's ready to go. So we'll get him set up here in the next minute or so. And we'll chat with him for a little bit and see what he's up to. And just seems like a great young kid. And see what he's got going on out there in Houston and what's coming up for him. So. With that said, check out some other Madhouse productions this week and every week. You know, tomorrow night, Mr. Skippy, the Madhouse Master, he goes live at 10 p.m. Pacific time. So it's 1 a.m. over here on the East Coast. It is worth staying up for. It's a Friday night, so you can sleep in Saturday. It's the Rogue Show every Friday night at 10 p.m. Pacific. I try to listen in. I try, man. I would love to be able to get on every week, but it's just doesn't always work out for me. Usually I'm passing out by then. But it's just a great show, the Rogue Show, Fridays at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And then Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific, the madman Carl Morrison has been running the show inside the asylum for a few weeks now. And it's great. I was on there 1 week. I look forward to getting back on there again soon and talking with Carl. And Carl throws it up each week, has different madhouse personalities on, and it's just a great show. So check those out. We'll talk a little bit more about those later. We're going to jump in with Jacob Silva right now, getting that just fresh out of class, learning how to save some lives. Jacob, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fine, man. I got a lot of studying to do. I know that much.
All right, man. We won't take up too much of your time tonight. No, man, I want to say I appreciate you working out with us and getting on here tonight. I've been wanting to talk with you for a while. Diana Ramirez just has some great things to say about you, and I've been excited about talking with you for a while now. So I appreciate us being able to work it around your school schedule. I definitely didn't want to interfere with that, man. So let's first and foremost, I do want to talk about that because I know you're big on that, and as good of a fighter as you are, that's not even your biggest passion. I think from what I've seen and from what I've heard, your biggest passion in life is saving lives, man, firefighting, EMT work. So how far along are you in your training to be an EMT firefighter?
Man, I actually got 3 more months, and then I'll be completely certified, and all I got to do is put out my job application. And I mean, you know, to me, when I fight, it's just a hobby. But as I've been getting better, it's been coming to be a passion, and I've been starting to like love it more and more, along as with firefighting and the EMT as well. But I'm just about done with the EMT.
Right on. Now listen, man, we got plenty of opportunities for EMTs and firefighters here in Florida, and there's plenty of amateur promotions around for you to fight at in your spare time, man. So maybe you should reconsider leaving Texas behind and coming out this way.
I know, right? I might have to pack up my family and go.
Right on, man. Now listen, you know, you're a young dude, 25 years old, and you got so many opportunities ahead of you. Now, as a fighter, you got an 8-3 amateur record. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, from what I see here, 7 of those were title fights.
It was a lot of title fights.
That is crazy,
yeah.
Dude. 11 career amateur fights, 7 of those for a title, dude, that's just unheard of.
Yeah, well, actually, my first fight was against a guy named Joe Trevino. I don't know if you know of him, but his record was actually 3-1 when I fought him first, and I was fighting him for a legacy flyweight title. And I only went to my gym, Silver Bay Fight Club, because I was trying to get some real good cardio put in for the Fire Academy. And then my coach, Tony Ruskell, he asked me if I wanted to fight. I was like, no, I don't want to fight. I was like, I'm not a fighter, man. And he was like, bro, I think you'll do good. I was like, bro, if you and the rest of the guys, if y'all have faith in me, then I guess, you know, I'll try it. So I went in, I watched these fights on Joe, and I was like, man, this guy is pretty good. You know, he was like 3-1. His last loss was to Matt the Danger Snail. And I was like, man, this guy is good. But anyway, so I trained for 6 months, got a cauliflower in 6 months. And we were at the main event at the House of Blues over here in Houston. And we went all 3 rounds. And I lost in a split decision. My very first fight. That was really my first fight in my whole life. I've been in one fight in the street. I was in like 7th grade, man. And I lost. And I ain't lying. I lost that fight. But, yeah, so that's why when the coach had asked me if I wanted to fight, I was like, no, I'm not a fighter, man. I was like, yeah, I have 5 brothers, but I mean, we fought, but we didn't fight till I tried to kill each other, you know. And then from there, it's just been, you know, just training every day. My wife, she's been able to, at first she didn't want me fighting, but now she sees that I have potential. So she pushes me to go. If I try to stay home and play video games or watch TV, she's like, no, take your ass to the gym. And I'm like, excuse me for cussing. She's like, go to the gym. I'm like, oh, man. So I get my stuff and I either run to the gym or I drive to the gym. And yeah, I mean, a lot of my fights, they have been title fights. It's just how it happened. I have no idea, but I guess I'm one of the few.
Now, how many titles do you actually hold right now?
Actually, since I'm turning pro, I guess I vacated the two. Or I guess three, because I defended one of them, and then I give up the legacy one when I turned pro. Well,
now,
I haven't officially turned pro yet.
I don't want to sound ignorant here, but the legacy amateur series that you fought many times for, that's the amateur affiliate to the Legacy FC, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the Legacy Fighting Championship. From what I heard, they're like the third largest. I'm not too sure, but they also have a amateur card also. And,
yeah, that's awesome. I see you fought a bunch of times for them in the amateur ranks.
Yeah, I actually wanted to fight for them more, but it just never had worked out with my school schedule, and you know I couldn't take the fight or my work schedule because I was training, working, going to school, and still trying to fight. It was just a headache. But I mean, you know, if I can make it work, I'm sure anybody can make it work.
Yeah. Now you mentioned going pro. So at 8-3, you're deciding to go pro now. Is that correct?
Well, my original goal was 10 fights. No matter when I lost, it was just 10 fights, and I was gonna stop fighting. It was just something I was doing just cause. But then when I reached the 10th fight, I didn't feel like if I was ready. And then they offered me a fight with Legacy to fight, what is his name? Anyway, I can't think of a name at the moment. But he was a brown belt jiu-jitsu guy. He'd been training for a long time, and I was like, you know what, this is a fight that I need, that let me know if I'm ready for the pro level. And we fought. I won in a split decision, I believe. And then my coach was like, Jacob, just go pro already. I like, bro, all right. So I spoke with Legacy. They told me that they're giving a contract in November for they're having a pro card in November over in Houston. So right now I'm trying to finish school before I turn pro because I don't want to have the headache of worrying about pro fights and worrying about if I'm going to finish school or if I'm going to pass finals. It's going to be too much headache. And school is kind of more important to me than fighting at the moment.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, before we go any further, man, that deserves the utmost admiration and respect, dude. It's just awesome to hear a young guy say, you know, you've obviously got some major skills at fighting, and you're obviously a warrior, bro. And to hear you say that, ultimately, you know, school and taking care of the family, like, you know, to be the top priorities in your life, man, that's awesome. I definitely just a lot of respect for me, and I'm sure for my co-host as well.
Absolutely.
That's just awesome, man. So as far as going pro and stuff, and, you know, you're talking with Legacy, which, as you mentioned, they're one of the biggest promotions in the country and quickly going to be one of the biggest promotions in the world. They're really huge out of Texas. We've talked with the CEO before. We talked with a couple of the fighters. Here at MMA Madhouse, we got a lot of love for Legacy.
And
it'd be awesome. You know, you've put in the time. You've put in the effort. You've fought six times on their amateur series, dude, and I hope that it works out. I hope you're able to make your pro debut for Legacy. I think it'd be great for you. I think it'd be great right there in your where all your family and friends can come out and support you and watch, man. Now, I think what's kind of separates you, kind of sets you apart from the majority of MMA fighters, with you talking about the fact that, you know, you fought 11 times. At 10 fights, you were just gonna stop. You were going to walk away. And then when you got there, you weren't ready for it. Now, is fighting, regardless of what kind of level of success you may achieve, which I feel like the sky's the limit for you, dude, and I think that you could really go far with fighting. But
thank you.
If you get to a point where you feel like it's just time to walk away, could you just leave it all behind, walk away, and follow another passion in life?
Bro, yeah. You know, I've actually told my family members and my wife that if I do eventually get hired on as a firefighter, as a full-time firefighter, as my career job, and they ask me, Jacob, can you stop fighting? And, you know, it's a risk that, you know, you might get hurt, that I might have to lay you off. You know, that's a risk that I wouldn't want to take. I mean, yeah, fighting, it'll bring in the money, it'll bring in the fame. But if I get hurt, then where's the money coming from? You know,
yeah.
I mean, I got to support my family. Although, if I could do both, I would love it so much. I couldn't ask for more. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm going to keep on fighting as long as I can. And now, I guess, because at first it was just a hobby, but it's becoming a passion now. I've only been fighting for about 2.5 years, and I've learned so much in these 2.5 years that it's like, well, you know, what can I do what can I accomplish in another 2.5 years? You know, it's just, like you said, sky's the limit, and I want to be able to push it as high as possible.
Jacob, I got to be honest, man. I'm listening to you talk, and I'm in awe. I'm like Matt said, big ups to you for doing what you're doing and wanting to serve the community. But I got to be honest, man. I mean, your upside is just incredible, and you're telling us that if you finish school and tomorrow you get hypothetically you finish school tomorrow and then on Saturday you get offered a job. And they ask you to stop fighting, you're done fighting. I just I'm looking at your record here, and it's just incredible. Almost all of your fights go the distance. I mean, your stamina and cardio is incredible. Your title holder in three different. I mean, just your upside is incredible. So I guess as I'm stammering over my words here, I'm wondering, is that really how you feel? If you have such a big upside in fighting, where you could possibly make money and a lot of money, is your love for firefighting and to serve your neighbors and whatnot, is that overwhelmingly powerful for you that you would really give up all that fighting stuff?
Well, you know, I guess at the moment in my life where, you know, money is the issue, so my first priority is job, career. And, you know, I guess I'm seeing it as, you know, what would happen in my job and career if I was to get hurt, if I was to get injured. Yeah,
sure.
Let's say I make $20,000 in a fight for some odd reason, you know, if I make it big. I mean, and, yeah, that's a lot of money, but I still got a family to feed at the end. I mean, at the end of my fighting career, I'm going to be a coach. I mean, I can't fight for 30 years.
Right, exactly.
You know, but I could still be a firefighter when I'm 50, when I'm 55. You know, I could retire when I'm, like, you can't retire from fighting, you know.
Sure.
But you could retire from career.
Jake, let me ask you this. How did you become interested in firefighting? You said you have five brothers. I'm sure
yeah. You
guys were competitive. You guys were competitive throughout, you know, your lives growing up and whatnot. And I'm sure, I'm just assuming this, but I'm wondering if sports was a big part of your lives. And how did firefighting, you know, every little kid wants to be a firefighter when they get up, you know, when they grow up. But how did you really follow that dream? What made you decide to really stick with that?
Well, when I had graduated from high school, I went straight into college, and I wanted to be a nurse for some reason. I wanted to be a nurse. But then I was taking the classes, and I was like, man, this is kind of hard, you know? So I dropped that out, and then I took a bunch of classes, and then I was talking to my uncle, David Alvarez. He's been a firefighter for like 13 or 14 years. I'm not too sure. And he was just talking to me about all the benefits and, you know, how great it is, how good the, like, the retirement plan is. And he was like, you know, you could do that. And then I was talking to some more family members that are also firefighters. And the more I was talking to them about it, I was like, you know what, it's a good career. You know, I could do that. Like, and then I just went to school, and I was like, I want to sign up for this. And then I just got inside the class. My wife, she, like, pushed me. She did, like, all the paperwork. She did all the financial aid paperwork, and she got everything together. She's like, okay, your start date is next week. I'm like, huh? Like, yeah. I'm like, oh shit. You know, shit just got real. So, you know, I went to class, and then I just fell in love with it now. So and she was actually the one who had pushed me to get back into the EMP class. It's because I graduated from the Fire Academy February 2012, and I took a year off to finish fighting. And then she's like, okay, Jacob, it's time for you to go back to school. I was like, damn. So, like, damn, she got me. So, you know, she did some more paperwork for me, and she's like, okay, your start date is May 20th. I'm like, okay. So I went, got all my books and everything, and I started May 20th. So 3 months from now, I should be certified EMT, and then the rest is history. I can't really tell the future. And then I got 3 months to prepare for my pro debut with a legacy. And I guess, well, I'll talk to you then in February.
Hey, you'll be like,
I mean, November.
Hey, Jacob, yeah, you'll be like the new, you'll be like the new Shane Carwin, man. You got a full time firefighter, and then you step in the cage every couple of months and just dominate everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if that's how it's gonna be, then I guess that's just how it be. I mean, I really haven't had a fight that was just so exhausting that's like, you know, after every fight, I'm like, damn, I could have done more. You know, I could have been harder. But, because, I mean, when I was in the Fire Academy, some of these drills that we were doing with the burning building and the carrying the poles and the SCBA, it was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I would sweat so much more within a 15-minute time frame of being in one of these burning buildings than what I was doing, like, a three-hour workout at the gym. It's just so amazing that some people don't even know what we go through just to try to prepare ourselves to go into a building for like 15, 20 minutes.
Well, I think, I think you're not right in the head for running into a building. I mean, people are running out. You're running in.
I don't think nobody is.
I think you're crazy, but no, I mean, I give you the utmost respect, and to be honest, you can't be slacking too much from what you've told us about your wife. She's telling you to get your ass to the gym. She's telling you you're going to school and stuff. You start slacking, brother. She's gonna crack that whip and get you back in line. So big ups to her.
Yeah, you ain't lying. You ain't lying. she's really my backbone, actually. If she wasn't there, I'd probably still be a bum or something.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Were you guys, you know, was she supportive right from the get-go with this MMA?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Oh, no.
Capital hell no in there.
Hell no. No, when I first told her I was going to go to the gym for a good cardio workout, she kind of had something in the back of her head, I'm sure. Like, yeah, right. Anyway, so I was going, and then as soon as I told her I was going to start fighting, she's like, no, you're not. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I am. And she's like, no, she's like, that's dumb. That's just a waste of money, blah, blah. And then I was to her, I was like, bro, you spend your money, you spend like $40 every 2 weeks on your hands and nails. I was like, so what's the difference if I spend money to learn how to fight? Anyways, for the whole 6 months, all we did was fight. about me fighting. And then the day of my amateur debut.
The best training.
I would take out so much anger at the gym. It was ridiculous. But you know what? Then she went to my my amateur debut, and when the fight was over, she was like so happy. She was like, "I know you were so good." She was like, "You won that fight." I was like, "Baby, I was like, what do you think I went to the gym and did?" I was like, "I didn't just go play around. I was actually training." And she was like, "You're so good." I was like, "Oh, I was like, okay." I was like, "Thank you." And then when she said that, like. When she told me that, she thought I was so good at, she think I have the potential to make it, like, it, you know, kind of lifted me up, like, damn, you know, she believes in me, you know. So, I guess every guy needs that, you know, uplifting feeling. Not to sound weak or anything, but, yeah.
No, man, not at all. Before we let you go, I got one more question for you. Before I ask you the question, got to say, man, don't you know rule number one with women is you never call them out on the things that they foolishly spend money on. You just overlook it and you pretend like it's not there, dude.
You know what? I should have did that.
Well, listen, man, I got one quick question. I just want to know, do you lose any sleep at night over the name Joe Trevino?
Oh, my gosh. you know what? He's a good guy, but... you know, I spoke to him. I still talk to him, but it's like, like I want to beat this guy. The first fight, yeah, I understand. It was a split decision. It was my first fight. It was like his third or fourth fight, you know. I give that to him. Then the second fight, it was, I don't know if y'all know what happened at the fight, but at the event, like, somebody had got tased, and then they canceled the fight. They kicked everybody out the fight. They called off the whole venue. Well, me and him was the main event, so it was the last fight. So then the owner of the promotion, he came in, and he was like, okay, the fight's canceled, you know. I'm like, what? I'm like, all right. So I went and got dressed, you know, stopped doing pads, and then he came back like 10 minutes later and said, okay, dude, you still want to fight? I'm like, what? And like, yeah, do you? I like, yeah, why not? So he's like, bro, let's go now. So I'm walking out, and it's like 50 people in the audience, and then this is the rematch for a cage combat, and I threw one punch. I like slowed up his eye like real big, and then he took my back, and he choked me out. First time I ever been choked out. I haven't been choked out in training. Yeah, he put me to sleep. I did not want to tap. I was trying to like fight until I couldn't fight no more. I mean, I'm not tapping to this guy. And I fell asleep.
Oh,
and bro, I haven't been choked out since then. But I mean,
so basically you're gonna fight this guy again before the career's over. I'm guessing you're like, you know what?
Yes.
I feel like I'm ready to walk away. But Joe Trevino, we have some business to settle.
Fight him in the streets. Nah, I'm not gonna do all that. But I mean, he's a good guy, though. You know, I still talk to him, even though you know he put me to sleep. But you know, it comes with the game. You know, you win some, you lose some, you learn. And I just left my neck out, and you know, chin down like Coach says, and I didn't do that. So, you know. He got the best of me that night, but I hope he still fights. But if he don't, then you know, it's really all good. But yeah, I do. My brothers, they all pick on me about that. Oh, you think you bad? I bet you if I go call Joe Trevino over here, he'll whoop your ass. I'm like, man, whatever, man. Like, just shut up. Like
that's
they
cold,
all
man.
Talk
that's
about
cold.
Joe beating me up.
Listen, man, we had a great time chatting with you tonight, dude. I appreciate you taking some time right out of class, man. Before we let you go, dude, you got any shout-outs, man, any sponsors or where people can find you on the social networking sites?
Yeah, man, well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank y'all at, you know, MMA Madhouse. I mean, thanks. I really wasn't expecting this. I mean, that you know, Dana, she told me about it, but I was like, yeah, I'm like, okay, we'll see, you know. And then when you gave me the message, I was like, oh shit, I'm like, okay, like I was really happy. I'm like, oh man, this is cool. But you know, first and foremost, I would like to thank y'all. I would like to thank my sponsor, Ismael Izzy Ramirez. He's a cool guy. He's a phenomenal kid. His young gang is so sick. Oh, I actually fought his dad. Just to throw that in there. I actually fought his dad. That's kind of crazy also.
Really?
Yeah. I fought his dad. And his dad is real cool also, Alex. My sponsor, Migraine Records, who else? Bloodhound, you know, the St. Michael and Mercy Room, and my wife, Diana, and, you know, everybody at a Silverback Fight Club. I mean, thank y'all, you know, I just want to say thanks.
Right on, man. Well, thanks again for joining us, dude. We'll be following you. I'll be following, you know, following your career and see what you got going on. I really hope the Legacy fight comes together, man. Legacy is a great promotion. But yeah, man, thanks again for joining us, dude. Have a good night, man, and take it easy.
Yes, sir. I got to get home before my wife say, where are you been? Yeah,
she's thinking you're slacking, man. She's going to think you're out doing nothing.
I know, right? I said, she'll say, you get out of class at 10, not 10:30. I'm like, yeah, what are you doing? Nah.
You got alibis, man. Just tell her, like, here it is, baby. It's online right here. I got alibis.
Right. So I'm like, you couldn't get that on your way home driving?
It's not safe to drive on the phone.
I could have got put over. That's funny, man.
All right, man. Yeah. Take it easy, man. We'll talk soon.
All right,
we'll follow
man.
Along with what you got going on, dude.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that a lot.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, sir. Thank you. Bye.
Right on, man, Jason. Cool dude. Real cool dude. Fun talking with him, just kind of BSing and getting to just sit back and talk, man. It's always fun when you got a fighter who's willing to just kind of talk and mess around with whatever, you know. I want to say while we're fresh with Legacy Fights on the mind, Legacy Fights does have their Legacy Fighting Championships 20 next weekend, May 31st. You can see it on Access TV, so check that out at legacyfights.net. Just wanted to give that shout out. So we've talked with Mike Maynard before, and Matt House is big on Legacy, so didn't want to sit here and talk about Legacy all night and then not give a shout out to that event. So with that said, I think we're gonna. My co-host here has had a rough, long day, not feeling great. I'm ready to kind of get to bed myself. I think we're gonna kind of wrap up a little bit early. Just want to say thanks to all the guests tonight. Dervin Lopez, Jacob Silva, and Reggie Payne, thank you guys very much for joining us. It's awesome. It was a great show. Had a lot of fun. To our sponsors, the best in the business, everybody that jumps on board with Full Guard Fight Radio and MMA Madhouse, we love you guys. Brawlbase.com, GameChangerNow.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, DracoSports.com, and ProAmBelts.com. Thank you all very much. To GatorMMA.com, my team, my family, check them out. Thank you guys for what you do for me and what you do for MMA Madhouse Florida. We had a great night tonight. To my co-host Jason, man, take it easy. Have a good week. To Carl Mortensen, man, we missed you yet again. Hope all is well up there, sir. We'll be back next Thursday doing what we do, supporting local MMA. Check out local events. You can check out madhouse.com. We brought event results from 12 fights last weekend, and it's going to continue again this weekend. So check that out, MMAmadhouse.com. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.